News Radio 690 KTSM presents the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archived podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Hey, guess where we are?
I think we're in a studio somewhere. Where, I don't know.
It's a closet. There's no windows in this place except into the other room, and he's here looking at the glass there.
Well, but they're nice people to look
they
at.
They are. So yes. We are here on the radio show, El Paso History, as we always say, does begin in El Paso County. That's right. For sure. But we're going to make some distinctions today and find out exactly where it began, because it's within the county. Where was it? So there we got that. And also we've got trivia.
And part of that trivia gifts we have today is Pepe's has a deal for our radio audience. Walk in and get radio-free salsa sampler just for asking. And that's a great thing that they give you. They give you five of their salsas, the special sauces, the chili con carne, chili con queso, chips in their regular salsa.
Chili con chili.
I made that up. I know. Chili enchilada salsa and green enchilada salsa. So you've got a chance to win that gift certificate for that in the first hour, or one of Jackson's DVDs, which the pile keeps getting higher and higher and higher.
I brought
that's
some
just
more
the
in
show.
Here today.
Yes, I know.
So. Well, some are duplicates, so if you want a really good one and two people ask for it, whatever. If the DVDs are part of El Paso's history.
Oh, it's got ghost stories.
Give it away.
Last tour of the smelter, gunfights of the Old West, which is my favorite.
You keep saying that, but you're
because
also...
Because well, I'm in it, that's
why. Well, you're
why.
In another one. You're in the Ghost 3.
Yeah, but I have a bigger part in the gunfights
there.
That's true.
You're shadier, much shadier.
Much shadier in that one, yes.
So there, we got that to give away today. It's a bunch of stuff we normally do. Pepe's, I was out there this week. I actually went out and got some stuff to do a catering thing. I went to a party, and they said, what are you bringing? I don't know. I'll go find out. So I went to Pepe's and got a load of stuff. I said, hey.
Yeah.
I was very popular.
Well, he caters events, doesn't
that's
he?
The
special
point.
Events? Yay!
Take a little, and I think, let's go out there lunch today. Anybody who can make it, we'll see you at Pepe's after the radio show.
I will be at Keystone, so I apologize.
Keystone.
Yeah.
It's another thing. Keystone's going on today because...
It's Celebration of Our Mountains.
There
and
you
they've
go.
Got free trees they're giving away at Keystone, and they're going to have tours.
What kind of
speeches.
Trees?
Speeches. Oh, I don't know. I wish I did. But go get a free tree and get to see Keystone and hear talks about gardening and everything else.
I don't want any salt cedar. Don't give me any salt cedar, okay?
We got lots of that.
I know. Yeah. All right, moving on to the reality of our world today of history. We're going to talk about history of San Elizario, Texas. And there's a nice young lady who was in the studio this morning named Maya Sanchez, who is the mayor. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, welcome here. You are a person who has got a lot of history in your area.
That's correct.
And now you're the first mayor in a long time.
Correct.
Shall we put it that way?
Yes, yes, as I explained just before we went on air.
Yeah, we were saying that you're not the first mayor of San Elizario, but the most recent one that's first.
And I'm hoping the first of the last incorporation that will ever happen out there.
In other words, you're done incorporating. You're now a city in the state of Texas, in the county of El Paso.
That's right.
And Maya Sanchez is the mayor. And what are you doing about it?
There's a lot going on. I didn't come up with this. I believe Vince Perez, our commissioner, did that back in 2013. He was very fond of saying that the oldest community in Texas just became its newest city, and I was really, really proud of that fact. And I'll be honest with you, getting through the incorporation process was not easy. In fact, it wasn't even something that I thought I would ever take on.
Is it like a term paper times 10 or what?
Oh, geez. if you include, building a garden at the same time, because it was a lot of manual work as well, believe me.
Oh.
It's a very long, complicated story that one day I will write down for posterity.
For history.
No one really knows what the incorporation entailed except for those of us. Myself and our committee of about 30 people, we're the only ones who really know what happened throughout
well,
that
Well, share it with us. Write it down already. Maya Sanchez is here, the mayor of San Elizario, Texas, talking history. But what is the general overview of what you'd call the history of San Elizario? You're the first stop on a mission trail out of Mexico.
Yes, and as you know, we are... viewers may not know, we are part of the Camino Real. And I know I've had a lot of, there are a lot of local historians in San Luis Río, some of which have been on your show.
Some of which are related to you.
Yeah, a lot of which are related to me. That's why I say I did. I became mayor because all of my family in San Luis Río voted for me.
And some of the great thing about some of those historians is that's their family heritage.
That's
so
correct,
kind of
yes.
get that's unique, and that's
yes,
cool.
Yes, well, so we'll give an overview, but I don't know that I'm the best person to go into the details.
Well,
and
no, don't worry about that, because you got a lot on your plate right now, being the mayor of Santa Lazaria, doing what you can.
Well, you wrote a great letter to the editor.
That's
right?
Correct.
About
the Times.
The church,
yes,
is down there. If you could explain that a little bit.
Yeah. So, again, part of the conversation that we will probably get into a little bit deeper as the show goes on. But there was a story that was written in the El Paso Times regarding the church and restoration that's necessary. Well, there's a whole process that's now involved, not a process that the city of San Luis Río instituted, but one that we want to make sure is followed correctly. So, but just to give a little bit of overview of the history of San Luis Río, we, in fact, our city seal even has this. We were established in 1598. Our city seal says established 1598, incorporated 2013. Because, as you may know, Don Juan de Oñate came through in 1598, basically establishing the community there in San Luis Río through a lot of different changes.
You think he had his first Thanksgiving right there?
Well,
somewhere.
I don't. And there, some call it the first Thanksgiving. What is significant is he did do La Toma, you know, and what happened there, I think, is more unique than even than a first Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was a meal that was celebrated of thanks.
Mm-hmm.
He also brought music to the region. That's La Toma, which is probably the most important contribution.
Well, but look back up to the bigger picture. On a world-class stage, this is huge stuff.
It happened right here in
the county, right where you have your city.
It really is.
City.
It's the birth of the American Southwest.
It is.
Exactly.
That is exactly true.
Yeah.
And that slogan's accurate.
And the first European influence.
Yes,
because
that's
they were
correct.
Spanish initially. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, from Spain initially.
Right.
I know Oñate was born in Mexico, but having the European influence.
That's correct. Now, what makes it unique, though, is, for example, our most well-known asset and historical treasure is the San Luis Río Presidio Chapel.
Mm-hmm.
And this is part of why I wrote the letter to the editor, because in our region, in our county, even in our city of San Luis Río, people refer to the San Luis Río Chapel as the San Luis Río Mission. And
right.
It's not a mission.
I almost had an argument with a priest over that.
Well, you know, and through recent times, we've had a couple of changes in the priests. And even we've had to kind of let them know, you know, they're new to the area. So they don't know the actual history of the church. But I think it's important that they do. And they're going to be serving there in you know, the community, and it isn't a mission, and it's important that we start calling it by its proper name and start teaching the history correctly. And that I'm almost giving my letter to the editor verbatim. But
another thing you can do is show the aerial pictures of these buildings, because they're constructed very differently.
Yes,
a mission is a crucifix form thing,
mm-hmm.
where this one's some more of a rectangular box.
That's correct.
And
yeah.
So it's a different construction.
Yeah. And so to explain a little bit of why it's a chapel and not a mission, the missions were established starting in Juarez with the Mother Church. Then, of course, Isleta and Socorro. They were established to call mm-hmm. to Christianize native people. But the chapel was established on a presidio to serve the families and the soldiers that were serving on
right.
the presidio.
Major difference in
those
function.
Those were in people who were already of the faith. And
right.
quite honestly, what makes it historic is obviously the fact, you know, it's been there and was established so long ago. And what makes it unique is the fact that, again, per my letter, along the Americas, there are missions up and down the Americas. However, how many chapels, historic chapels, do we have? As far as I know, and I would love for someone to correct me, I think ours is the only one.
I was going to ask you, because I don't know of any others.
I don't either.
Anywhere.
But again, I'm not a history buff, so people to correct me.
We'll take it off of your shoulders. We'll just claim it ourselves and say it's the first, and Maya is going to support that.
Was the Alamo a chapel, though, also?
Yeah.
That you're probably right.
Yeah, but something to think about that.
But it's also a mission.
Yeah.
So it's a mission chapel so therefore it's a mission.
And I didn't.
What shape is it?
The Alamo. You know, I didn't grow up in Texas, so I didn't take history. I should
look
probably know
I'll
this
look
better.
Look that up. I'll bet you it's a cruciform.
I'll Google it.
Crucifix thing, because that's the difference. But the point is, in the construction in the old days, what the Spaniards would do is get the natives to build their own church. Mm-hmm. Whether they liked it or not,
right.
Depending upon how you look at that. And so they were then worshiping in something that they built. So,
right,
all right, San Elizario is unique in a number of ways. One is that it was the mission chapel, or Presidio chapel, I'm sorry to say. It's not a mission. Well, actually, take it back. The argument with the priest was the group of people is known as a mission in Catholic hierarchy. Just like if you're a Mormon, they're called a stake. And I never understood that one either. So it's
small individual churches and such.
It's a grouping of people, but the building is what we're referring to, and that's the artifact that's left over from history. And this one is unique, no matter what. All right, so now you're the new mayor of San Elizario. The previous mayor was 100-some-odd years earlier, or what?
Well, you know, that's interesting. When we were first talking about incorporating San Elizario, we didn't know what to do. So I contacted our state representative, Mary Gonzalez, and her chief of staff was able to direct us to a municipal attorney who kind of walked us through the process. Now, what we initially thought we were going to do is what was most recently done in the 90s, right around the turn of the century, was reestablish an existing incorporation. So my parents and I, we took it on ourselves to go to the UTEP archives. We went to the county elections department to see the history of incorporations that are on record for San Elizario. And this is a really interesting story because if that group back in the 90s would have taken 5 minutes to look through these books, they would have known that the incorporation that they were basing their re-establishment of the government on, it had been disincorporated. So let me give you some dates.
You had to start over.
In 1871 is on record, according to the archives that we looked as the first incorporation in San Elizario. 1891, it was disincorporated. Then again, in 19... I'm not too sure why the disincorporation. All we have is the record of the election on the books. And again, these are old ledgers, nothing that has been digitally saved. They're old ledgers that are crumbling and falling
apart. And they're handwritten.
They are handwritten.
I've been through some of these, not the stuff
that's
you're...
That's correct.
Oh, it's kind of weird. Like, is this for real? That's all you got.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. So, again, incorporation in 1906, disincorporated in 1911. In 1920, I believe that my dates at the end of this process got a little
fuzzy.
There's
no test on this.
But anyway, let me just tell you. So, in the early 1920s, my parents and I went through seven ledgers that went back to the mid 1800s.
And you sneezed a lot.
Oh gosh, no. Are you kidding me? I was nervous, you know.
But I mean, all that dusty old stuff.
Well, I was just nervous because this is the beginning of our county we were handling.
Yeah.
So what we found, and this is like straight out of a movie. I'm not even making this up. On the very last ledger, on the very last page is where we found the disincorporation of San Elizario for the last time on record by one vote.
Oh.
And so that kind of made us, and then past that, we even started looking at some of the digital files online. We couldn't find another record of incorporation. So to be on the safe side and not to face the same fate of the incorporation in the 90s, we decided we'd have to start from scratch. And the reason we wanted to try to kickstart an existing incorporation is because we were up against time.
It's quicker just to take a shell and...
Well, we had election dates that we had to hit. In 2013, we were trying to hit an election date in May of that year.
Did you hit it?
And for the reestablishment, that was all we were going to have time for by that date. because we weren't really sure of our fate, whether we would even be able to incorporate until the end of April is when we realized whether we would be able to actually move forward with an incorporation or not.
You figured it out.
We figured it out. So we had to start from scratch, and that process began in May. And so by November, we were finally able to, we had everything in order. And even on the last day when we turned in our paperwork to the county judge's office, we turned it in, and the area that we wanted to incorporate was 12,000 people. Now, the county attorney came back to us and said, I'm sorry, but we really want to make sure you're successful and this can't be challenged. And this area of law was a little subjective as to whether the state of Texas allowed more than 10,000 people for the type of municipality we were trying to become, more than 10,000 people to become a city. So the county attorney, Joanne Bernal, asked us to cut 2,000 constituents out of the city limits on the very last day. So in a rush, we had to call the land surveyor and say, okay, how can we do this in one day? And so luckily we were successful and able to do it.
It's a weird problem.
By like 4:59 is when the judge stamped the incorporation papers. We finally had it, and we incorporated 9,700 people.
I can see the scene in the movie that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Well, Maya Sanchez, you have been through something to get this thing going. Now you got it running. We got to take a break. Let's come back and find out what you're doing about it.
Okay.
Because you are apparently doing some things about your history.
We are, yes.
Oh, good for you. All right, we're going to do some
trivia.
What are we doing? Trivia?
Yes, we
trivial
are.
Trivial trivia. Let's just go ahead and do that. What do you got over there?
Well, the first question is, San Elizario, Texas has been governed by at least three countries. Name three of them for a regular prize. Name the fourth for another free DVD.
We think there's a fourth one.
Yeah, we were kind of kicking that one around.
But we're likely to give you the prize no matter what, but I mean, just make an effort here, okay?
Yes, or straighten us out one of the two.
Call us up if you want to do that.
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Message and data rates may apply.
Imagine your life 5 years from now. Are you on the path you want to be on? It's time to take control of your future by getting a world-class education from one of the nation's top universities. Arizona State University is now offering over 100 top-tier degree programs 100% online. It's the exact same degree our on-campus students receive, but you can learn from anywhere in the country on your own schedule. For information, text PATH to 369-369. Learn from ASU's world-renowned faculty and use ASU's global recognition to improve your visibility, professional network, and gain real-world experience you can start using today. The Wall Street Journal ranked ASU fifth in the nation for producing the best qualified graduates. Now discover how ASU Online can stand out on your resume and help separate you from the competition. We're ready to help you learn to thrive in your life, in your career, and beyond. To learn more about ASU Online Degrees, text PATH to 369-369. Again, that's P-A-T-H to 369-369.
Power Punch Signs and Printing is your El Paso-based sign and printing company. We offer a variety of sign solutions for your business. So whether you're a startup, moving locations, or you just need to reface your sign, Power Punch Signs and Printing can help you with your electric signs, channel letters, and pole signs. Your sign is your image to El Paso. We can help make it look stunning. Call now and receive 10% off your custom sign. Power Punch Signs and Printing. Signs, banners, commercial printing. 875-1489. PowerPunchPrinting.com. 875-1489.
The Ectrogen Temporal Scanner Thermometer is doctor-recommended and backed by more medical studies than any other thermometer. Your family's health care deserves the best. The Ectrogen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Get yours at Toys R Us and Babies R Us and other fine retailers today.
The Texas Secretary of State reminds you that you have 17 days until the November 8th election. So remember, get the facts before you vote. Find out what you need to bring to the polls at votetexas.gov.
Now,
more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Let you know about something going on tomorrow. Fraternity Lodge, 1111 of the Accepted Free and Ancient Masons. I think that's what that AFAM stands for. They're hosting a Masonic open house for the general public. That's tomorrow, October 23rd. You want to know what the Masons do? Do you know what the biggest secret of Freemasonry really is?
There's no secrets.
Oh, there's one. Mm. You know what it is?
I don't
know. You have to ask them.
Oh, that's
the secret. They tell you. They will not come along and promote Masonry to you unless you ask. So go find out tomorrow, 2 o'clock to 4 p.m. That's at the Scottish Rite Temple, because this Masonic Lodge is up in the temple. And by the way, this is the historic Lodge of El Paso. It had all those big shots in it way back in the day. These guys are still around, so that's why this is important and historic. And they got a bunch of people standing around asking or answering questions, if you like. So what is your thoughts?
Well, appropriately, we're coming up to Thanksgiving and Dia de los Muertos. You've got Ghost Stories by Moonlight. And that's October 22nd, which, of course, is tonight, from 7 to 8 p.m., and that's going to be at the McGoffin Home Visitors Center. And you can join us for spine-tingling tales of legends and folklore performed outdoors by local storytellers. Dress as your favorite spooky character. Refreshments are included, and tickets go on or are on sale now at the McGoffin Home Visitors Center. So you can give them a call to find out more information on that. But the adult performance starts at 7 p.m. and it'll be $15 in advance and $18 at the door. So you can call them at 533-5147, and that's the McGoffin Home Visitor Center.
I'm not sure I want my spine tingled.
Yeah, mine tingles all the time, and it's not
stranger.
Good.
Anyway, moving on to reality here. We got some people on the phone here, think they know answers to questions. I think that's what you guys are doing here. Let's go to Helen on the phone. Good morning, Helen. How are you?
I am fine, and you?
We're surviving well. Melissa's got a question for you.
Okay.
Okay.
San Elizario, Texas has been governed by at least three countries. Name three of them for the regular prize, which is a Pepe's gift certificate, or name the fourth one for a free DVD along with the certificate.
Okay. Can I do both?
Well, sure. Give it a shot. See what happens.
Okay. Okay. Spain, Mexico, France, and the Texas Republic is the fourth one.
We're going to defer to the judge over here, Maya. What do you think?
She's like, what?
Spain. Say that again. Spain, Texas?
No, I said Spain, Mexico, France, and at one time, Texas was a republic, which would be considered a country before it became a state.
But did the river move before that or after that? Okay, that would change where it was still in Mexico. Whatever.
Let Maya say the answer.
We're going to give it to her, right?
I think we
can.
He's torturing you.
No,
that's
the question
all.
Was when we were making this question up, we weren't sure whether or not that Texas would be accurate, because they were not. Were they a country when San Elizario joined?
We forgot all about France.
Well, France is in there somewhere.
Parlez-vous français?
No matter what, you got it. All right, so you got a Pepe certificate or one of these here DVDs. Pick a DVD if you like.
Which one?
Okay.
You name it, we got it. We got Ghost Stories of El Paso Volume 2, The Smelter, Mexican Revolution. We've got Ghost Stories 4. El Paso, Legend of El Paso's Mountains, Cristo Rey, Tom Lee.
You're bound to learn something.
Good Fights of the Old West, McGoffin Home, speaking of. And the Good Fights of the Old West again. So
we got two of those.
So
right.
We got a choice. And if you can't remember, we can give them to Shelley and she can tell
you. If you can't work on it right now, Shelley will help you with this, okay?
Okay, because there's like two or three I'm more interested in than the others.
Which one was that one?
One of them is The Legend of the Mountains.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
And then there's The Revolution.
Mexican Revolutions?
Yes. I think that one.
Okay, Mexican Revolution sites.
You got it.
In El Paso. Well, thank you very much
for listening.
Hold on here, Shelley. Come on, take that. Pick that up. Hold on. All right, and if I hit the right button, you'll be on hold.
Yeah.
If not, you'll be
gone. Purgatory.
Totally gone here. All right, moving on to numero uno. Next question. What is it?
Okay.
Numero dos. We got Moses on. Moises.
Moises, good morning.
Say your name for us, would you?
Yes, good morning. It's Moises.
Moises!
There we go. Thank you.
There you go, dude. What's up with you? You ready?
Well, we got another question.
Okay, what is it?
And when Billy the Kid broke into the San Elizario jail, what was his plan?
Why'd he do that?
He went to go and free one of his buddies. I don't know the guy's name.
That's enough, dude. That's exactly what he did. And Maya, do you remember the guy's name, Siqueira?
Melquiades Segura.
That's one of the highest names to say.
Got
to
write that one down. All right, Moises.
I like that, though, his buddy.
Yeah, well, I mean, you go read the account. I mean, see, now there's a movie, Maya.
Oh, I know.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
we've been saying
that. Oh, my goodness.
If they can make a movie about Tombstone, they can definitely make a movie about
there's hundreds of movies here.
Well,
yeah,
Moises, you got
correct.
That. We got DVDs left for you. Take your pick here. And list off a few of
we've
those.
We've got Ghost Stories Volume 2 and 4. We've got Gunfights the Old West. We've got MacGuffin Home, Tom Lee's El Paso, El Paso's Mount Cristo Rey, Legends of El Paso's Mountains, and El Paso's Melter.
Let me have the ghost stories.
One or two, two or four?
Two is San Eli. Two has San Eli in it. So take that one.
I won't be offended if you...
Yeah, take that one.
Okay, good.
Well, you should take that one, because we wandered around down there with some people who said they'd seen some ghosts. So what do we do about it? We brought in a psychic who says, oh, I know exactly where they are. Mm-hmm. And then the psychic was telling us who they were.
Oh,
have
wow.
you seen that ghost video?
I've only seen a little bit of it.
Well, anyway, you got what you got there, Moises. So hold on the phone. Oh, that'll be Helen.
Moises.
Who is this?
Thank you.
Yes, hold
thanks
on
for
and,
listening. Stay
and
there.
Thank you kindly. Shelley will come on and tell you how to pick that up. Shelley is the call screener today. Shelley Sutherland, thank you very much. And also, the other guy in the room over there across the glass, Sergio Valenzuela. That's like he scored a goal. You got to say it like he scored a goal. So. Thank you guys for that. All right, what are we doing there? Are we going back to reality here? We got to take another break, actually.
Do we?
We do, indeed, because Maya Sanchez is here. We're going to talk about the most historic, unique, well, the most unique building in El Paso County. There's no other like it.
That's right.
Is the Santa Lazario Chapel.
Mm-hmm.
There's
that's correct.
There's nothing like that in the Catholic diocese or anybody's churches. That's in a unique building.
And we'll talk about what we're doing to further protect not just the chapel, but the whole of the Mission Trail in San Luis Obispo.
The thing is, Maya, you have got history that's gone through there for the Salt Wars. Oh, we got to get into some of this. We got to take one more break and come back in a minute. Should we do that?
We should
call us up or Facebook us.
You can Facebook us at the El Paso History Radio Show Facebook page, or you can call us at 544-5876. 544-KTSM.
Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution Sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. ephistory.com.
Not available in all states.
Hey, you two, what brings you to the mall?
We're just here checking on our robot.
Your robot?
Yeah, our recent Irvi's Froyo robot. Diane and I became franchisees last month.
And couldn't be happier. It serves premier frozen yogurt creations to customers in 60 seconds. And the yogurt is delicious.
Yep, our customers absolutely love it. That's it over there.
Whoa, that's incredible. People really do love your Froyo robot. So, you own this?
Sure do. Recent Irvi's Froyo robots are available across the country, and it's super easy. Recent Irvi's provided us with everything we needed. They even help you secure amazing locations. Movie theaters, grocery stores, college campuses, theme parks. They make any location a sensation.
And everyone loves frozen yogurt. That's incredible. How do I get a Froyo robot of my own?
You just go to froyofranchising.com and enter promo code 2000. But hurry, because locations and robots are going fast.
Froyo.
Yeah, froyofranchising.com. Promo code 2000.
I'm attorney paid spokesperson. Paid for by Open Jar. Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Could your house go into foreclosure? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home and you feel like you have nowhere to turn? Then we have good news for you. Homeowner Protection Services. Homeowner Protection Services can help save your home, and they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Homeowner Protection Services now at 800-230-6116. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Homeowner Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Homeowner Protection Services now at 800-230-6116. 800-230-6116. That's 800-230-6116.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory?
In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
We are preparing for the hunt. Are you ready to join us at the Zombie Paintball Adventure?
You and nine others embark on a terrifying venture through the zombie feeding grounds in your attempt to survive.
Can you handle the experience? Only at the Zombie Paintball Adventure at Terror Trail Haunted House, 401 Anthony Avenue in Kenyatillo. Call us 915-877-FEAR.
Book your tickets online before they sell out at texasterrortrail.com.
More of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
A couple of things coming up to tell you about. There is going to be a major event at Concordia Cemetery on October 29th, 2 to 8 p.m. Our second hour will be all about that. But just to get you tuned into the concept, the whole idea of the Concordia Cemetery having the Day of the Dead. Now, that's the most, if you're not used to that kind of thinking, if you're from out of town, well, a couple of guys in the studio last week, these musicians, I said that, and they looked at me like, what? What are you people doing in El Paso?
We're partying.
These people are already dead. Quit messing with them. No, but that's not the point. Go find out. The second hour today, we'll tell you what the point is. But the event is next Saturday, 2 to 8 p.m., at Concordia. Also, let you know a couple other things. Tomorrow there's another biggie going on at Isleta High School. It's actually part of their, apparently, their whole auditorium is going to be full of people talking about history and also about the Trost events. This is part of their, apparently, their annual homecoming. But the doors open at 1245 on Davis Street. That's on the west end of the building. And that's at Isleta High School. The Trost and the construction presentations, plus a tour of the building. That's tomorrow. Go see another big Trost High School, and they have all kinds of things going on down there. Call Ron Lyman if you want some information about that. He's running that. 740-6829. Another tour of another Trost building. 2 weeks ago, they had El Paso High School, and this time Ron Lyman's doing Isleta High School.
He's busy guy.
Get a hold of him, 740-6829.
And the Tom Lee Institute is, of course, carrying on the Tom Lee Month, and this one, they've actually, it's kind of unique. They've got a play that has been written, and it's called Grace Note in a Hard World. And this is being put on by the Tom Lee Institute, and it'll be October 29th from 7 to 9 p.m., in the Philanthropy Theater, say that one 1,000 times, 125 Pioneer Plaza. The one-act play by Camelia Carr dramatizes the early life of El Paso native Tom Lee, and it's based on the book Tom Lee, An Oral History by Adair Margo. The performance focuses on Lee's early life as the mayor's son, his studies in art at the Institute of Chicago, and his apprenticeship to muralist John Norton and his marriage to fellow art student Nancy Taylor. Stage, film, and television stars Ray Baker and Morgana Shaw star as Tom and Nancy Lee. Tickets are only $25 at the Tom Lee Institute, and if you want to learn more about this, give them a call at 533-0048.
Tom Lee Institute, there's another big piece of El Paso history.
Busy people.
And it's good to see individuals coming up and promoting what they have. I mean, that's what Dear Margot basically has done, created the Tom Lee Institute. That's a whole bunch of El Paso history that you can see through Tom Lee's eyes because he touched on just about everything here. San Elizario is our current topic of conversation. The mayor of San Elizario is doing photobombs all over the studio. And you're having a good time.
I am.
Are those going to Facebook? Where are they going?
I don't know yet. We'll see.
Okay. Depends on the cost of the ticket. I don't know.
That's right.
Bribing me. No, but Mayor Sanchez, we have to dignify it. I've known Maya a while, but now she's the mayor.
Well, and I took another picture of her in with the new sign that we have for the Texas History Begins in El Paso for the El Paso History Radio Show. So you'll see that now on our pictures in the future with our guests.
Well, we have to remember to get it out of the closet and stick it up on the wall. So there you go. But also, and did you see the promo this morning on KVIA?
No, I didn't get a chance.
Hey, well, take a look at that on Saturday morning.
Chasing my dog around.
For the radio show. Okay, Maya. The whole idea of the history of San Elizario, it's one of the first things in El Paso County that had people, as far as like a government and that kind of thing. Tell us some of that kind of thing, and also, what are you doing about it now?
Okay. Well, still
the importance is the Mission Trail, obviously. What we're doing is trying to protect the Mission Trail. But, yes, back in 1850, San Ysidro was El Paso's first county seat. So the Presidio was also has connections to the beginning of Fort Bliss as well. So there's a lot of history that started in San Ysidro. Another event, or two more things that started in San Ysidro that a lot of people don't know about, is what is now Loreto Academy began in San Ysidro. Mm-hmm. And Viva El Paso began in San Ysidro.
Oh, so, that dinner theater? Did it?
That's correct.
Oh, that's okay. Right.
So there's a lot of beginnings in San Ysidro that are well connected to the city of El Paso as it stands now. So what's going on? This is the first time, and I'm really proud of this fact, the first time in modern times that I can recall where... Well, let me back it up a little bit. For many, many years, there's been a lot of community activists and historic preservationists who've really championed the Mission Trail as a whole, not just within San Ysidro, but the Mission Trail. However, they've never really received the support of those who make the decisions over the different entities, you know, the cities that are there, the diocese that is...
The county government.
County government. Well, this is the first time in a very long time that... We've all sat at a table together, and we're having regular meetings with the city leaders, the diocese of El Paso, the TIWAs, all those that have a stakehold on the Mission Trail, to come up with some sort of cohesiveness to help preserve the history.
Good
so
idea.
Basically putting ordinances in place that are consistent throughout the three cities that have a stakehold there. You know, even with TxDOT, one of the discussions that was had this week is making the speed limit something that's consistent throughout. We go from 20 miles an hour all the way up to 50 miles an hour
on the same
road. Two-lane road, mm-hmm. You know. So there's a lot of movement and action that's starting to happen on the policy level that has never been done before.
Any chance of getting a bigger road?
Well, that's the challenge is because we have so many historic adobes and old buildings that were built up right against the road.
Your left turn lane is an adobe building. Don't go there, right?
it makes it challenging, you know. Now, there's a recent development, and part of why my response to the El Paso Times article last week. Okay, so 21 years ago, obviously no city of San Ysidro, but we had the Mission Trail that our community leaders were starting to realize needed some sort of protection. So Elliot Shapley, along with county government and the county attorneys at the time, one of which we still work with, they decided that they needed to do something to protect the Mission Trail within San Ysidro. So they, by state law, they instituted the Mission Trail Historic Zoning Regulations. So basically what they did at the state level was give the county of El Paso authority to zone.
Normally that's just cities.
Which doesn't happen. Yes, that's for cities only. That doesn't happen in the state of Texas.
Okay.
So it's a big deal that Elliot Shapley was able to take it all the way to the legislature to get this passed. That's how important not just our community leaders, but the state of Texas thought this trail was. And still is. Now, unfortunately, we've had recent discussions, and I have to pause for a second and thank my city staff and my council. They have done amazing work in San Ysidro, and a lot of things that I verbally get credit for, they're the ones who need to get the credit, because they're the ones who day in and day out really work to make sure that we're educating our public as to what that becoming a city means.
So like you got a team going there.
Oh, it's such a great team. And no one has a job description that they fall in line with. Everyone just takes work and tasks as they come.
Well, you got a title. You're the mayor, so you got to kind of like lead the charge occasionally, right?
Well, I mean, yes, but I couldn't do so without them. Honestly. So just a little plug for my staff and council.
Oh,
they're amazing. And it's because of our staff that we the whole regulation issue, the zoning regulations came about as a discussion anyway. So we had some businesses that wanted to either rezone or kind of change what they're doing. And our building official and our city clerk, Nancy Montes and Guillermo Reyes, they said, well, we need to make sure that this passes through the historic regulations, which are it's up to the county to regulate at this point. Now, this was in the spring. I won't go into the details of it, but basically we realized between our two entities that the regulations were amazing in theory, but in practice had failed. Because for 21 years, the regulations were not being enforced they were stated in the document.
So people built whatever they wanted?
Well, to a degree. Now the county did have a process, but keep in mind, counties aren't typically given zoning authority. So
this is unique, yeah.
When you are given something that is not usually under your jurisdiction or purview of work, you know, it becomes a little challenging. So there's bodies that needed to be put in place to review applications. And so anyway, we decided between the county and San Elizario that we're going, thanks to Pat Adauto, the public works director, she said, I'm going to fix this. We're going to put the proper paperwork in place, the proper bodies in place, and we want to pass it over to the city of San Elizario, but we want to make sure things are in place first. So we're currently going through that process, and that's the result of the article and the church having difficulties with their restoration efforts right now. That basically indicates that we're not isolating anybody on the Mission Trail. These regulations apply to everyone, even the diocese. Now, mind you, it's a long process to make that transition and to put the bodies in place and basically put something, you know, fix something that is 21 years broken.
You're talking about the regulation of the Mission Trail, what it looks like, and now that's passing from the county to the San Elizario in your area.
Well, yes, it started at the city limits of Socorro and goes into our historic district. So there's an actual zone that has commercial, properties lie in commercial zoned areas, in agricultural zoned areas, in residential zoned areas, and just like at a city level, if you live in a residential and you want to change it to commercial, there's a process that needs to be followed.
But now it can go either to the county or directly to San Elizario.
Well, we're working on it going directly to San Elizario.
Okay, the bottom line of this whole conversation is to preserve and protect the history.
That's correct.
That's the whole point here.
Now, a couple things that I need to make clear, though, is it's going to be a challenge. We know that. And we're asking property owners and residents and business owners on the portion of the Mission Trail in San Elizario and the Historic District to work with us. Because, again, usually grandfathering comes into play when you've had a business established and something changes.
But the grandfather in this case had to be before 1995.
Yes.
So if you were grandfathered, it would be before 95.
That's correct.
And that's the issue you're now presenting to these business owners. Like, guess what?
Yes.
Okay. But the point is you're trying to make a focused history corridor out of this.
We are. But at the same time, we understand that these business owners, and my family owns both a business and a residence on the Mission Trail. So I'm very mindful of the financial burden it can be to take what's there now and try to make it fit what the zoning regulations.
Well, what do you got to change in your house or your?
Well, and I'm talking about just kind of we understand the process.
Okay.
I don't know that there's anything that we personally have to fix, but at the same time, If businesses popped up that shouldn't have been allowed on the Mission Trail in the first place, we're not in the business of shutting them down. That's not what we want
to
do.
Auto salvage, though, on the Mission Trail, can't even move that back a block, can you please?
Well, and there's a process by which that can change.
Right, I don't want to run out of time. We're getting short here. So
sure.
Give us some summaries. And Melissa had a question.
Yeah, what quick question is, because you're going, it is a historic district and such, what about, are there grants, going to be grants for people available to improve their homes or their businesses to look, you know, more along the lines of the Mission Trail?
That's one of the things that I've asked for, is to help identify funding sources to go through this for our constituents. So there's a lot of things that the city can do.
Well, also the
economic development and help for our constituents, but at the same time, there are grants that we are currently
And that would help
researching.
Smooth that over a little bit.
One thing to look at is the survey that the county has authorized for downtown El Paso. Mm-hmm. They're extending that into the county.
Right.
And so there you are. You'll be able to get into that survey and find out what historic structures you
right.
have.
Right, and that's what the judge's office and the commissioner's office are working
Excellent.
On, is putting together a master plan for the Mission Trail, not just within San Elizario, but the whole of it.
Maya Sanchez, the mayor of San Elizario, is in the house. We got another segment coming. Think of some things you need to summarize here, because we need to let people know where is San Elizario, how to find it, what you got when you get there, and why are you people late? Get on down here. Come on down here. But Melissa, we need to take a break. Shall we do that?
We will need to take a break. I was just looking at Facebook page. We had a mistake on the Dia de los Muertos notice on our Facebook page. It is October 29th, not the 1st, because it's a Saturday and it's so much easier for us as volunteers.
Back that up a second. So you moved the celebration by a day to fit Saturday?
Well, 2 days. Two days, because November 1st is this Tuesday, and October 29th was just easier for us to do an event at Concordia Cemetery with volunteers.
We're going to straighten this out next hour, right, with all these people coming in here? Oh, let's do that. 544-5876
or 544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the one and only margarita from the cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
What's the scariest thing about going to the dentist? Opening your mouth or opening your wallet? Because just a simple cleaning can cost $100, and things like root canals can cost you hundreds more. If you don't have dental insurance to help, you should give Physicians Mutual Insurance Company a call. 1-800-400-0067. This isn't a discount plan or preventive-only coverage. This is real dental insurance that helps pay for checkups right away, so you can call today and get your teeth cleaned tomorrow. Plus, it helps cover the more expensive procedures you might need down the road. Fillings, crowns, bridges, even costly dentures. There's no deductible and no annual maximum. Your acceptance is guaranteed for one of these insurance policies, even if you're retired or on Medicare. There are no networks, so you can choose any dentist you'd like. That's right, any dentist you want. Call in the next 10 minutes and we'll rush you a free information kit with all the details. 1-800-400-0067. That's 1-800-400-0067. 1-800-400-0067.
As a busy parent, taking your child's temperature shouldn't be as stressful as fighting through traffic. With the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer, one gentle scan of the forehead is all it takes. If only the commute were that easy. Pick one up at Walmart or other fine retailers.
Power Punch Signs and Printing is your El Paso-based sign and printing company. We offer a variety of sign solutions for your business. So whether you're a startup, moving locations, or you just need to reface your sign, Power Punch Signs and Printing can help you with your electric signs, channel letters, and pole signs. Your sign is your image to El Paso. We can help make it look stunning. Call now and receive 10% off your custom sign. Power Punch Signs and Printing. Signs, banners, commercial printing. 875-1489. PowerPunchPrinting.com. 875-1489.
Applying for a job? In some states, employers don't just check your resume, they can also check your credit report. So get serious about your credit, because it could affect your chances. Brought to you by Experian.com.
Bring home the fun.
Play casino games on your PC.
These are the same games you play at the casino.
But you can play them at home.
To get you started, here's an offer that'll save you 40% off your entire order.
Go to Phantom EFX. Choose your games and enter promo code iHeart at checkout.
PhantomEFX.com. Promo code iHeart at checkout.
Play casino games at home.
And save 40% at PhantomEFX.com. Promo code iHeart.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, going to tell you about a new video that premieres in November about El Paso history, the Woman's Club of El Paso, a vital force since 1894. The video is produced by yours truly, Jackson Polk, and narrated by their truly,
Melissa Sargent.
You go say yours truly, Melissa Sargent. This half-hour TV documentary features the women who helped civilize El Paso starting in the 1890s. And I tell you what, this group of women built their own clubhouse on Mesa Street at River, and that's near downtown El Paso. It was on the edge of town in 1916.
My goodness.
And so now, a century later, the building turns 100, so they're making a video, and we're doing it.
And there's a Women's Club member-only premiere on Wednesday, November 9th at the club's monthly members-only luncheon meeting. And there'll be a public showing of the TV documentary and producers talk with Women's Club President Mary Rayleigh. And that's going to be with Jackson Polk on Thursday evening, December 1st at 6 p.m. at the El Paso Museum of History, where the Wall of Giants exhibit is the Women's Club of El Paso. And I will be there.
Please come on down. Yes. We're going to show it to the public there. And the thing is about the Women's Club, it's at a luncheon and it's a member only, so that but we'll show it to the public. All right,
but
coming
it will
up,
be available there too afterwards.
We have DVDs will be for sale. All right, we got Maya Sanchez in the house for a few more minutes. We're going to talk about the Day of the Dead coming up at Concordia Cemetery next hour, but the Day of the Living is here. That was not a very good transition.
We're still alive.
Very
yes.
bad segue. But Maya Sanchez, tell us what we need to know about San Elizario, because you guys are up and coming now. You got tourist potential.
We've had tourists come through for quite a while. But yes, we are looking to maximize that.
Are you seeing an increase?
Well, you would have to ask Los Portales. They're the ones who actually keep track of that. Unfortunately, I don't have my finger on that pulse.
But as mayor, you would know if they're developing a new hotel in town. They're not.
Not at this point, but I don't think that's too far off in the future.
I was going to say, you might look into that.
Right, yeah.
For your future?
There's a lot of opportunity. You know, we just want to make sure, it's one of those things, kind of going along with the master plan, we want to know what we need to do to get it to a level. Restaurants, varied businesses, you know, cleaning up the Mission Trail, there's a lot of things. But at the same time, there's still enough there worth coming to. I mean, it's a very unique part of our region. Well, and most people who come out there are like, I didn't even knew this even existed.
Well, most people don't know about the jail and Billy the Kid. I mean, that's a very interesting story to just tell that.
And now you have shops, you have a small restaurant over in that area. It's kind of a more of a fast food stand, isn't it?
Well, that's one of the things that we're looking to encourage as far as business development and economic development.
And your art district. You got artists coming out your ears down. That's excellent stuff you got going
on
down there.
The Historic and Art District does a great job in putting on a lot of events throughout the year.
There's
in fact,
a great group.
Speaking of Dia de los Muertos, we have our celebration coming up this coming Sunday, a week from tomorrow, October 30th. It's actually from 1 o'clock to 9 o'clock in the evening, and we're going to have a nighttime electrical parade. And it's all right there in the Historic District.
Right on your plaza.
That's correct.
Excellent. So that'd be kind of fun to go look
at. That'd be
fun. And there's a lot to be thankful for that San Elizario still exists, because a lot of people over history have just taken their old buildings and done away with them.
Yeah.
San Elizario is intact.
Well, I think the fact they were so isolated in a sense, I think that helped it a lot.
Well, you know, I think the railroad bypassing us was a blessing in disguise.
Yeah.
Because if we would have gotten the railroad, a good chance we could have been downtown El Paso right now.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I love the fact that we were able to retain a lot of our history. You know, unfortunately, like a lot of communities, we've lost a lot. But we've done a pretty good job in retaining a lot of what we do have.
Yeah, well, one thought, it was a presidio, meaning that it was actually a fort. And so you had the church in the middle of it. But some of the buildings that are on Main Street were part of the wall of the fort.
Right. Well, you know what's really interesting
is
a drone recently went up and kind of did an aerial pictorial of the historic district. And right in the baseball field, which the school district owns, you can see what used to be walls in the grass, in the ground.
Cool.
It's pretty amazing.
That kind of stuff does happen. San Elizario,
Texas.
I'd love
to get a copy of that to put it on our Facebook page.
Definitely on the map and becoming bigger. And it's the tourist business. That's a good destination point on the Mission Trail of El Paso.
I think so.
When
we were off air, I know we need to wrap it up, but I had just mentioned to you all that we just received a 115-acre land donation.
From Maureen.
Maureen Singleton. Right. Yeah, she's amazing. Yeah. She's a wonderful woman. She donated this land with no strings attached. And I was like, you have to have something. I want to make sure. Because, you know, we're not going to be in office forever. I want to make sure that our city government does right by this property.
Yeah.
So, basically, we're going to be looking to the public to see what we do with this. And we've had everything from a multi-purpose center to a farm and ranch museum, promoting and educating the agricultural life there. So there's a lot of options.
There's your music. We got to get out of here. Maya Sanchez, thank you for coming
thank
in.
Thank you so much. Thank I appreciate you. The
good
time.
Luck with the adventures on El Paso's Mission Trail.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Take care. Everybody else, next hour, talking about Dia de los Muertos.
Dead people.
Dead people.
We're going to be talking
some
dead
live
people.
Folks coming in to do that.
Those dead people will be talking
all right.
to us.
See y'all next hour after the news.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the El Paso History Show. There's another hour to go, so please stay tuned. This hour is brought to you by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. We'll be right back after the news, right here on News Radio 690 KTSM El Paso.